morning, everyone. This is the Cabinet Subcommittee, Local Authority Trading Companies Shareholder. The first order of business is to elect a chairman, and this is going to be for the rest of the civic year. So can I have nominations, please?
Ian Alper.
Seconded.
Okay. Ian, you're now chairman. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And thank you for election by acclamation or some other some other word. Thanks for that. We've got no apologies for absence. We're all here. Thank you. Thank you for that. The minutes of the 15th of March 2018, we will need to take as read and approve as a true record the minutes of that subcommittee meeting held on the 15th of March. I appreciate, obviously, not everyone here was intending on that day. Can we agree those as a true record of the of the minutes?
Subject to that proviso that we were...
That we weren't there. We haven't got any other business. In accordance with council policy, this meeting has been audio recorded. Members of the public and press may use their devices to film, photograph, or do a sound recording of the meeting. But please let me know you're doing this so I can inform all present. Please don't use flash and disable any sound notifications that may emit from your device. We haven't any press with us today. Members are reminded that any declarations of interest in respect of any business set out in the agenda should be declared as either a disclosable pecuniary interest or declarable interest, and are required to notify the chairman of the nature of any interest declared at the commencement of the relevant item on the agenda. Members declaring a disclosable pecuniary interest must withdraw from the meeting for the duration of the item. Members declaring a declarable interest wishing to exercise a councillor speaking right must declare this at the same time as the interest, move to the public area before speaking to the item, and then must leave the room before the debate and vote. Public participation, we haven't any...
Can I ask a question on the declaration of interest?
You can.
Because this is for the council business, so it covers all residents, and all three of us, or all of us, are residents. So therefore, should we declare interest as residents, or the fact that it covers all of us, it falls away, and we've got to get the business done somehow.
I would suggest that all councillors are residents, and we have to do the business of the council. I will make a note in the minutes, because I think if it affects all of us,
that's when we're dealing with matters at full council, it falls.
Yeah.
So go on. Yeah. Sorry.
No, I think we'll make a note of that comment. Thanks, Paul, for the meeting record. Thank you. Which takes us to the next item, which is the trading company update. We've clearly obviously got a further paper on part two. I mean, whether it's easiest just to try and take these under one, or would you advise just to take them separately?
Yeah, the reason you need to take them separately is for the public record.
Okay.
Because we'll not record the part two.
Okay. So, well, let's take the trading company update then. Steve?
Thank you, Chair.
Crowley to present.
I will provide an update on, as you have in your report already provided. As I said, the key point is to provide the committee with an overview of where we currently are with the trading company. As set out in the background, 7.1, this follows the recommendation which was made to Cabinet to look at the principles of set up a wholly owned holding company. And since there, officers and also consultants have been working hard to produce the associated documents. In the part two, we have provided the business case and all the associated documents. Obviously, in the part one, I won't go into detail of that because they are confidential in their own very nature, but I'll provide an overview of where we are. So, at the moment, we haven't registered the company, and the reason why we haven't done so, which is explained in 8.4, is when we look at the financial modelling, currently doesn't demonstrate that there's sufficient tolerance within the finances to make it viable. Just going back, and I'm not proposing to go through all of it, but in 8.3 it does provide an overview of what the different key parts of the business case covers, and if we wish to get into any specific items in part two, then obviously we can. 8.5 I think gives a very quick sort of overview of the reason why at the moment it doesn't provide a financial security in terms of as a company, and that is mainly because as it stands we've only got two key projects, which are Harkness Court and the Town Lodge, and although they are schemes which, if we were to do them in terms of viability wise as a council, then there's no issues, they do stand up from that point of view. But by putting them into the company, and more specifically as a company has to pay back the actual loan and the overall value of what those investments are, with the appropriate interest rates on them, and also ensure that they are based at the market rate, once all the calculations are done, that means that it's like I say, very tight, and the tolerances we as obviously directors and also as officers have concerns to do that. The directors met in June to discuss the current position, and that's why we're obviously reporting to yourselves to inform you of that. Now, to try and resolve that and hopefully get to a position where it is viable, officers at the moment are looking at other schemes that we could potentially put into the company. The aim was to complete all that work by the end of September. At the moment, we're slightly behind schedule, and I'd say we're probably looking at around October time. But also, even based on that, we need to do a thorough sort of look to see what can be moved into the company and what's best to be moved into the company. And I think what I would say is, if once we've looked at the assets that we currently have, even if they are viable on their own, if it doesn't make business sense to put it into the company, it makes more business sense to keep it within the council. I still think we need to be very conscious about the reason and need to set up a company. That doesn't mean that in the future there may, when we have other larger schemes available, there may be the need to set up a company. But I would just say there's not necessarily a need to set up a company. The key thing at the moment, which is explained in 8.8 for a company, is a Harkness Court improvements. Once that's complete, which we're aiming to complete by around April of next year, if we were to let that out, there are risks, which I'll explain in more detail in the part two, of it being in the council's ownership than if it's in the company ownership. However, there are other options that we could decide to do with Harkness Court. For example, we could decide to sell it and then use the services from that to invest into other acquisitions. So that, I think, gives an overview of where we are with the company generally. Underneath that, it's just a quick overview under 8.9 of where we are with the company name. People have teased me a lot about why we aren't re-announcing the company name. The simple reason is we have, and I'm sure you're aware, we did an involvement with councillors and staff to come up with a name. The name was then voted upon, and the name has been selected. We have purchased the main domain names for that company, but until we in the point of time to set up the company, I don't want to be releasing the name, because then someone could quite easily just go and register a similar company name, or you take the name which come through. You could say, well, we'll just go to a second place person, but yeah, I don't think this, until we're ready to actually register it, there's no need to actually state what the company name is. Under section 9, which is legal implications, it just gives an overview about what our powers are. I'm not proposing going into detail that, but basically demonstrates that we do have the powers to set up a company under the Localism Act. The rest report, again, just really covers the only other part there, I guess, is about the risk implications and the fact that we do have a corporate risk for generating income. And this is one way of doing that. But even if we do not have a company set up, the general principles which we're operating still enables the council to generate income. So it doesn't mean that, you know, by not having a company, that we prevent us from doing lots of business opportunities through the council side. And again, I'm sure if we need to discuss in detail that, we could cover some elements in this part one. If not, we can go into more detail in part two. I think that provides everything from the part one. So yes, if there's any questions basically on generally the principles of what we're talking about, happy to take them.
I should have said about turning phones off. Councillor Clark.
Thank you. When planning applications come through and there's a requirement for delivery of social housing,
yes,
specifically as opposed to affordable housing,
yeah,
is there options for the council to take on board, rather than put it out to an RSL, to take on board, you know, that housing and manage it as part of the stock, you know, as part of the company to increase the turnover?
That's an option. It's not an option that we've currently looked at, because we are mainly focused on what the, you know, what I'd say more, you know, commercial options are in terms of renting out at the market rate. But I'm not saying that can't be looked at.
So that's similar to Rowan Homes, which run, yeah, which is the commercial,
yes,
arm.
Yeah, I take on your point. All I'm saying is that as it currently stands, we haven't looked at that at the moment.
So with the council pushing for more social housing,
yeah,
and then, well, how's it going to be managed? There's a number of RSLs out there, but we could also be an RSL. I know the point's being made, we don't have a HR housing revenue account,
yeah,
but
yeah,
then other councils do. They still have one, so we can, you know, piggyback. It just opens up the scope. I acknowledge your report, the narrowness of, you know, the company being viable, yeah, right, with just those two sites.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to find ways of opening it up, and social housing with the current market trend is something people can't afford. We're trying, yeah, if we're pushing for more social housing, how do we do it, rather than have Settle, Howard Cottages, Anchor, Guinness, how many others have I offended by not mentioning, you know, opening it up, looking at ourselves and building a portfolio there and seeing what return we get.
From a sort of looking at the commercial perspective, we are struggling to make the company viable with charging market rents. If you're charging rents lower than market rents, you've obviously got a lower income base. That's how you then get to that scale. At the moment, we're obviously buying it. The presumption is that you buy in kind of a lot of the property support. You'd need to go to a significant scale of the size of the company to actually do that all yourself, and that's when you start to get into the realms of all these, the people you mentioned, where they have got their own sort of support for the housing, they have their own maintenance people, etc., etc., and then they can do that kind of, have the lower rents, yeah, and they can make the odd model work. So it's, I think at the moment, Steve's looking kind of at making it a bit bigger to make it work. What you're thinking of making it huge to make it work, to the sort of scale you'd need to go to.
I think what I'm suggesting is we build it on bits at a time, so that it's manageable, not suddenly put 200,000 houses, because that would be ridiculous. But if you put 100 or 200, you know, as sites come up, and they're, because not every site do we get social housing in, so it's not a major thing. It's an idea to look at to try and expand the scope so that it becomes more viable.
Yeah, I think that's the whole point, that we need to look at them. And I think, as I say, it's trying to see what options there are for us. And I'd rather make sure we do good, you know, detailed investigation of the different opportunities than rush to set up a company for the sake of setting up a company. Because there's still lots of things we can do without having a company, you know, it set up. So I take on board your point. Like I say, we haven't run that through, you know, sort of any sort of calculations. But I do also take, like I say, what Ian's saying is the difference with aiming on that side is you perhaps get larger than what you need to do if you're adding in a few more more commercial properties. But the other danger at the moment is trying to find opportunities that either that we which we own at the moment or which are available for us to, you know, purchase.
Did you want to come back on that?
I will just quickly. I'm not saying rush it. I'm happy to take the measured approach. That's fine. But as I say, if you know, we're looking at social housing, if you know, a developer says, well, there's this amount of land within a development, because we've got some major ones coming forward, you know, parcels of land that we could say, right, okay, rather than you build the housing, we can as part of our commercial. And it's just opening, you know, nudging the door open and seeing what's the other side to try and do it, which I think, you know, people are accepting. So rather than bouncing it backwards and forwards, if we...
No, that's exactly what I looked at, you know, seeing how we can do that ourselves anyway, and all the options are available to the council of all the different parts of lands which are out there.
Okay, well, Councillor Hoskin, did you have anything... that you want to, no, I mean, I've got nothing specific. Am I okay, Hilary, just we'll come back to clearing this paper after we've had the part two discussion?
That's fine.
Okay, so if we move to item 7, which is exclusion of press and public, and just to consider the following resolution that under section 100A of the Local Government Act,
this bit has to be on the
The press and public be excluded from the meeting on the grounds the following report, which is item 8, will involve the likely disclosure of exempt information as defined in paragraph 3 of part 1 of schedule 12A of the said act as amended. Is that agreed?
Agreed.
Okay.